Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Gwen Berry. Well, we invite you to join us for the next hour to talk about what's going on right now on many different dimensions.
I got roots like a tree, holding me down with my eyes on the sky, but my feet on the ground, and the people all come when they wanna gather around. Tonight we leave in the streets we scream freedom. I said I let it all ring. I said I let it all ring. Oh yo yo. Oh 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 oh. Oh yo yo. Oh 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 oh. I'ma keep on going, keep on rising. Elevation mind is all in the timing. Lights up the freedom flame.
Sort of brings us into the moment.
I love that guy, Matsus Yahoo. He's got such a nice, sweet spirit.
I'll tell you, I never get tired of Pharrell.
Yeah.
I never get tired of listening to that song.
Another sweet spirit.
Uh-huh. I was going to play a little old Pete Seeger piece, you know, Little Boxes, la, 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 la. Yeah, terrible singing voice, Gwen. Oh, well, that's okay.
I think that song is supposed to sound like that.
It is. But, you know, the thing is about Little Boxes is that it's talking about what was, and that's just not true anymore, simply because it isn't affordably true, but also because that's not the consciousness anymore. And playing that piece, I just saw Fire Freedom and then Missy Aho's name, and I went, oh, that's got to be the one.
That's funny. I was going to say to play him, but I wasn't sure what it was called. I forgot. That's great.
Well,
good choice. Freedom Flame. I like it.
We are being offered the absolute freedom. I mean, we always have been, but right now, I just posted this wonderful piece. It's a photograph. That it's a picture, and it's really, it's a paisley background, very nice and all that. But on it, it says that basically, I don't believe that consciousness is generated by the brain. I believe that the brain is more of a receiver of consciousness. And that's a direct quote from Graham Hancock. Well, of course, Mr. Ayahuasca would be able to say that.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. It's the greatest computer ever invented.
Yep.
But, you know, alone without the plug-in, it's nothing.
It's the hardware.
Right?
Just the hardware. Folks don't, you know, that's the amazing thing, is that we are spirits in the material world. And there's a lot of truth to as above, so below, but we're challenged, you know, to see the beauty in everything, even the stuff that, you know, the withered, dried leaves on the ground have a beauty. the people we consider the most ugly are sometimes the most beautiful, bright spirits you'll ever run across. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and the opposite is true, too. Some physical beauty is not so great in the brain or the plug-in.
But it's just conceptual. It really is. Right now, with, you know, I was wondering, I mean, we're doing a lot of talk about what is influencing us most cosmically these days. And we're still under this Uranus-Pluto convention in the sky. I'd call it a game. And I found this wonderfully simple, brief but poignant explanation of really everything that is being represented in this through each lens of the solar system. And, you know, if we know what our planetary neighbors are doing through it, because that's where the oppositions and the squares come up, then we have a really good idea of just how deep and moving this whole thing is. The more I read about it, I don't know about you or what you've found out there, Nick, but the more I read about it, the more I understand that this really truly is a portal. This is a gateway. You know, a couple of years ago, you saw nothing but postings about, you know, oh, this gateway is happening. You remember the 11/11 thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those gateways and such. This is a true cosmic gateway that we're going through right now.
Yeah.
And the principle is the process, this Uranus-Pluto, the whole principle of it, is the process of transformation, the collapse of the old order of things and the construction of the new, which means IE equals revolution. And the people who are rising in all of this, and on many levels, I mean, we all, once you start waking up to it, everybody's rising to it, but this is particularly the time of pioneers and reformers and explorers and people who are out of the ordinary, and the rise of also folks who are endowed with that universal genius. In other words, the elders of the community. It's the magician in the tarot, you know?
Wow.
And the thing is, too, just at the beginning of the show, and to put this energy out, we are losing one of our elders in the spiritual community, mourning Glory, Oberon Zell's companion for so many years, the founders of Church of All Worlds and Green Egg Magazine and everything. Mourning Glory is having her time of transition right now. And, you know, we've lost Jose Arguez, and then Ted Andrews, then Isaac Bonowitz. Mm-hmm. We're losing a lot of our elders, and it's time for those of us who have been studying everything that they have forged out and plowed the road with. It's time for folks to take up the responsibility.
Lost them in the flesh, but, you know, just like Obi-Wan says, I can do a lot more, and I'm much more powerful on the other side than I ever could be here in this body. So I don't really think we lost them. We just don't see them. But I think that they're doing a whole lot of work from the other side.
Good point. Absolutely.
Yeah, and your talk about the portal, I was looking online. Do you know Ronnie Benick? She runs that site. Oh, it's a long name. It's like Ancient Aliens, anything metaphysical, anything that's like out of the ordinary, extraordinary.
I think I know it. Is that the Crystal Lynx lady?
Could be. Yeah, she's in Australia. So But I looked on her site, and there was one where it looked like there was an angel figure standing on Mars. It was a picture from NASA. And then there was a flying saucer over Israel, Jerusalem, maybe. I think so, because you could kind of see the dome. And it's just hovering there, and then it flashes a couple lights and then takes off. And when I was watching it, you know, you see a lot of this footage, and, you know, who knows what it really is. But I could feel it with that one in Jerusalem. It just felt like there was a wave of, you know, relax, people. Let's relax. And we are here. You know?
I mean, hear you there, boy. I hear you there. Israel has been very surprising in the last few years. I mean, those who really paid attention understood it all along. However, it has really become very public. We have to, I think a lot of kudos are meant for people like our sister, Ruthann Amartafeo and Era Amartafeo. She produces shows that bring people who are living in Gaza onto the radio to talk about the plight of the Palestinians. You know, years ago, I cut my teeth writing on the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, the PSLP, because Palestine meant terrorist in the sense of 1970s terrorists. We're talking, you know, the bad old days. And now if I were over there, I would very, you know, you do what you think is right. I would clearly be standing with the Palestinians, very much so. I mean, Israel has gone, is the primary example perhaps on the planet right now to teach us what we never learn. Which historically, what we've never learned, which is that, you know, cosmic consciousness or Christ consciousness of turning the other cheek, of saying, you know, I will not behave like the madmen who behaved badly on me type of thing. You understand?
Yeah.
Because it looks like that's exactly what they're doing to the Palestinians, especially all of them that have been pushed onto Gaza. And
yes.
For you to say that there's activity there, well, I'd go this way too. I mean, it could be a few of the grays stopping by for a cup of tea over there at the Knesset too. You just never know.
It had a certain feeling though, this one. Like, I think that's one of the things with the portal that...
Yeah.
We're more sensitive, and we can, especially if we've been working on our internal guidance system and our emotional guidance system, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And it hovered there for a while, and it really had a wonderful energy, but a very strong, that's exactly what I felt. I felt like it was just humming there to calm the energy and relax the energy. Because I'm seeing more and more now that the energy around you, again, I think it has to do with this portal as well, and the opening up and the raising up and the feeling so much more, that the energy around you can affect you way more than ever. I mean, at least that's been my experience the last few days with what the other people around me, like, especially if you live with someone, you know, everybody's going through their thing in their own way and at their own pace. And sometimes it's out of balance. And if you're an open feeling person and you're looking to feel more, which I am one of, you know, you really can take it on. And I'm very conscious of, I think this is one of the things we've all been working on with light working, and if you are sensitive, to be able to keep your things to yourself and know when it's not coming from you, it's from over there, and shielding and white lighting. Okay, fine. But so I've been conscious of it. And the last few days I was on a terror of just irritation, aggression. A couple things flew out of my mouth, which again, I have worked on. A lot of things don't fly out of my mouth without my approval anymore. And I said a few things. I was like, whoa, that sounded awfully aggressive.
Well, right now, Mars, which is your sun, your ruling planet,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how far degrees you're into Aries there with it as your ruling planet, but I would say you're pretty strong with your Aryan qualities in a very positive way. But during this Uranus-Pluto cardinal cross juncture, this gateway, this portal, you're being challenged with enormous booms of energy to the point of, you know, you could be fanatical about some of the things you're thinking about as far as it going in a loop over and over again. And instead of bending, you might be breaking once in a while just so that you know the difference. You're gauging yourself, you know,
mm-hmm.
because that's Mars's huge energy. But then again, that's, you have many other factors in there that help you govern that. But I'd say that maybe that's why you fly off the handle once in a while. I've done it too.
Mm-hmm.
My Mars is in Scorpio, so I can be mm-hmm. dangerous. I mean, you know, the dog yeah. looks at me some days and goes, okay, what is it? Jekyll or Hyde?
Yeah, I think we're also learning more about ourselves. And if you do have that aggression as part of you, and I don't mean aggression necessarily in a negative fashion. I mean, like you said, it is a very strong energy and it can be harnessed. It doesn't have to be a killer, but you know, it's like riding the wild horse or the dragon, you know, who's in charge here. And sometimes, you know, you get a little thrown around. So, and part of that was pointed out to me was that I've been eating too much meat.
Oh,
and
wow. You know, this is the third time in 2 days that I've heard about the different, you know, no more meeting, eating meat.
Wow. Yeah, because, you know, I like meat. I also really like vegetables and fruits and fish, everything else. But
yeah.
But my roommate is very much a meat and potatoes kind of a guy, and he's, you know, this skinny metabolism through the roof. So, you know, he funnels food like air. But he has that, and when you live with someone, you know, you either have to make a conscious decision to do your own thing and stick with it or go with it. And there's been so much going on, I just went with it. And then I was getting angry and then feeling bad about it and then getting angry and then feeling bad, some, you know, and then some happiness in between.
That's kind of a vicious little cycle.
Right.
And you're bringing up the fact that I found this is what really gave me a bad time. I listened to this and in all my journeys, all my travels, I've never heard this before, but in Osage County,
mm-hmm.
they're having dinner and the youngest daughter says to all of the, you know, miserable drunks at the table, she says, you know, no, I don't eat meat. And they're like, you don't eat meat. You're in Texas. What do you mean you don't eat meat? And she's like, well, you're eating the animal's fear.
Right.
And I was like, all I had to do was hear that. And I got to tell you, yeah, we're mm-hmm. thinking, okay, how do we make vegetable meatballs here?
Right. I had an acting teacher that told me that. She was a vegetarian. She said, you're eating their fear and their sadness and all of this and blah, blah, blah. And that's why, you know, they mention in Game of Thrones to sacrifice a goat or a lamb, you know, it can't see the blade coming.
That's
otherwise.
True. That's true. And in Native American, most indigenous cultures, I'd say from down under to up here, from southern to northern hemispheres, all the indigenous people go hunting and they hunt the animal and they connect psychically with the animal and ask permission. And the animal gives this permission to basically feed the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the tradition of drinking the blood of the animal's heart comes from, is drinking in the spirit, the qualities of the animal. That's mm-hmm. that's totem. That's real animal medicine there.
I see. Yeah, and apparently it makes the meat taste better and the energy is better. I mean, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, imagine the way that our most of our meat comes now. You know, it's on such a low vibration. I think, you know, most animals that are in some sort of cage-like, you know, inhumane place, I think they just check out. And it's just, you know, the physical. So there's really, like, no vibration, and then it takes on the vibration of the people around it. So, yeah, it made total sense to me. And it was amazing when my friend Zion told me this. Within 20 minutes of having this conversation, my stomach started to digest everything. It was like I heard it, and boom, everybody out.
Oh, God.
So, you know, but it was good. I knew what it was. I mean, it was painful, but I was like, yes, I accept this. I would rather have it go quickly and have it be painful than have to purge for 3 to 5 days, you know? So let's go. It's fine. It's fine. And then it passed very quickly, and then I was fine, and I feel much, much better just knowing what it is and why I was feeling that way, because I kind of attached it to the portal and knowing more, and also standing up for yourself. I mean, that's what I want to talk about on Spirit Therapy on Monday night, is believing in yourself, because I think we're also learning our voice right now and standing up for ourselves, even if it's not a popular choice, and you know that what you're about to say, the person you're saying it to is not going to like it, or at least you think there's going to be some opposition, right?
Yeah.
But so how do you walk into that? And lately I and some light workers around me have seen that, you know, people don't necessarily like it, but it needed to be said. And we go through, oh, could I have said it a nicer way? Did I have to say that? Should I just let them do their thing?
Yeah.
But I think in every instance I've heard, it had to be said not only for the sayer, but for the receiver, like it or not.
You know, what you say makes perfect sense. It really does, especially with everything we're being challenged with. This is also about the illusion of fear, and also about with the standing up for ourselves. It's about really giving you, it's self-credibility.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I really do have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people will feel, you know, I have walked around thinking I have certain integrity, yes, but how can I put it in a better way that's more relatable to an everyday experience?
Walking in your own truth.
Right. I would never do, you know, can you think of times when you said these words, oh, I would never do that. And yet you find yourself maybe 6 months down the road doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's going on with what you're pointing to, and I think we're being challenged to develop our sense of integrity so that it has an elasticity that is honest with the world we're living in and the transitions that are going on around us. I think it's important to recognize that.
Because when you say it's strong, everybody heard it, including you, and you could say, okay, is that really what I meant? And it may be yes or no, but you really hear yourself when you're coming across stronger. I have to agree. It's definitely a challenge. It's more of that balance, right?
Yeah. Well, this week we have a full moon, and it's in Scorpio.
Whoa.
And over at our good friends from down under, the Cosmic Intelligence Agency, I got a nice little write up on it, and the full moon and the new moon, but the new moon isn't really important till the end of the month. Now it's on the 15th, and it's hot on the heels of, and I'm just going to read it out, you know, hot on the heels of the Venus Mars opposition, which we're going to talk about too, comes an intense Scorpio full moon. The moon is aligning with Saturn. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and there is a pleasant grand trine between this duo with Jupiter in Cancer and Chiron in Pisces. That's that water trine that's going to be with us here.
Mm-hmm.
News reports recently have been full of the information about property market boom we're experiencing. There's a little bit of that going on here in the United States, too. In Australia, a Jupiter-ruled country, prices are higher than overseas, but there, too, houses have been rising. Prices have been rising. Jupiter in Cancer is the transit we can thank or blame for this trend. Cancer is a sign we associate with family, home, and hearth. And Jupiter can overinflate anything it touches. Well, okay. And in this case, we're threatened with the so-called housing bubble. And you've heard, look, over here it's about renters, really, because everybody's getting thrown out of their homes. But the current upward trend will probably stall when Jupiter moves out of Cancer and into Leo in July. In this chart, we see the moon with Saturn in Scorpio, suggesting that family matters and joint finances are in focus emotionally.
Wow. Isn't that where most arguments come from in married couples, you know, about the finances?
My gosh, yes. We may have extra duties to perform that get in the way of our personal needs or thwart our desire to spend time with the family. The pressure of obligations and trying to make ends meet is being very keenly felt. Okay.
My heart go pitter-patter.
Pitter-patter, all right. Limitations and boundaries are Saturn's domain. With Saturn in close proximity to the Earth and the Moon, we're likely to feel a tightening associated with cutbacks. Okay. May is budget month for the federal and state governments, and this chart reflects the mood. And the news reporting indicates that there's going to be some pain felt in the hip pocket. So, well, that's on a government level.
Mm-hmm.
And they're suggesting this is at a family level. But, you know, I've watched us transcend so many limitations in the last couple of months with this portal opening that I don't place a fear on that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's no lack there. But this is definitely this Scorpio full moon, you know, might be biting in many different ways. But it's also a huge energy that can be harvested during the full moon to charge candles for positive purposes. You know, I don't know how long it's been since you've charged any candles, but, you know, you can charge a candle during an astrological peak time and place them on the shelves and use them when you need them.
And my understanding of Scorpio is, you know, it's the deep depths of the dark ocean. So to be able to use that, all of that, I mean, that deep energy to bring forth. But then it makes sense that with the government and with the families, you know, it's every family, the Rockefellers to the Johnsons, you know. So I think that that's the depths of the dark ocean coming up, and we're starting to see what's more about what's really going on, you know. You mentioned to talk about that today of seeing, we can see better what's really happening, right?
It's true. And people are waking up because you can't avoid some of the things that have been going on right in front of us. I mean, even though the mainstream media is not really reporting, I mean, you're clowns. It's a political circus, you know, but you really, between all the social networks and everything, how many times have you walked into a room in the last year, honestly, and seen people sitting attached to their smartphones looking at screens?
Oh, please, 80% of the time.
And it's just, I think that's going to, you know, I'm wondering if we're going to get a wake-up call on that one with some, you know, like satellite interruption or something from our star, because, you know, that's going on quite a bit. And technology only serves us to show us what we're capable of doing on many dimensions of our own thought patterns, you know?
And where your consciousness is. I mean, that, I think that's one of the tests and the tricks. Here's all this technology. Now, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to consume you, or are you going to use it as a tool for whenever you need it, as a tool, not as a crutch and not as your best friend? But I think that's part of the waking up too, you know, with teenagers and 40-year-olds and, you know, luckily the older people, you know, the technology hasn't really grabbed them, you know.
You know, and that's kind of a shame in some ways too, because I can remember when I was first online, you know, 10 years ago or 12 or whatever it was, and I used to go into chat rooms and stuff, and I met people, fascinating conversations, and made friendships with people who I know now on Facebook, but some of them are well into their late 70s and early 80s. And these are people who were before they had the ability to dive into the net. They didn't have any ability to, you know, communicate with folks. They were they are shut-ins, but they're not shut in now completely. Mm-hmm. So the positive side of the net, you know, and these are some of the people, too, who you'd be very surprised are performing DODDS for Anonymous and stuff. I mean, you know, everybody thinks Anon is just filled with a bunch of kids who are geeks or something, and that just ain't true.
Yeah, that is great, isn't it? Because, you know, you see, I have, my uncle is just so anti-technology, but he's become kind of anti a lot of things in his older age. So, but, you know, he's homebound, and we keep saying, you know, it'd be great to be able to use it that way. And then the flip side is people that, you know, that becomes their life. So,
yeah.
You know, same thing.
I catch, everybody is always checking in with the smartphone anyway. And then you have folks like, I work from home and my computer's always on. And if I get those little blink, blumps, you know, those little noises that your Mac will make when you get a post on Tumblr or Facebook or Twitter. And I'll look up. You know, I don't always go over and look. I'd say about a good 30% of the time I do go and look.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time if I'm working, I focus on what I'm doing. However, my technology is always available to me. So what does that say? I'm hooked in. I really am, I guess. I don't see that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't. But I understand what you're saying. There is a point where there are people who, especially teenagers and kids who could be, you know, in a club over at school or something instead of sitting in a room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
Yeah. But I think a lot of these things, I think that's part of the, you know, the rattling of things that aren't going, that aren't helping us, aren't serving us, are rattling loudly. And will continue to unless we do something about it. You know, it's like if you're feeling depressed and, well, are you always on your smartphone? Well, maybe that's why, you know, like starting to make some of these connections, because I think that's obviously part of this portal and the ascension that we're doing. It's really how I'm understanding the word ascension right now is our bodies, which the mass is the slowest and the densest, to catch up to where our mind and our consciousness is and is going, as well as the cosmic forces around us. But the ascension is really helping our body to move forward and continue with us. And housed in the body is all of these emotions and thoughts and belief patterns, right? So I think those things will start to really speak very loudly. I think that's the anger, the sadness, the extreme joy. I think it's just going to be a lot of extreme feelings that people are feeling.
I think I've experienced some of that. I can look to and tell you too that the arts, whether it's a movie or I was sitting outside reading a book the other day, and I've had it for a while, and I finally.
Are you now?
They're reconnecting. Do you think we're reconnecting?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that happened last week, right? And it just seemed like we lost like a 10 seconds or so. So, and it was, you know.
I know. It's really weird. Well, anyways, we really, really, really had, I really jumped into the, and I haven't enjoyed that pleasure of creating a world to join, you know, through the artist's, you know, painting in words like that. And I've also discovered, I should have known this and I did years ago, but I've also rediscovered, you can visit museums online.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it?
I really had forgotten that you can go and take virtual tours of some of the exhibitions, like over at the MoMA. You know, not everybody gets to live in New York, right?
Right. What a great idea.
Oh, yeah. And here's another really cool thing you can do with your technology. You can go and look at the stars and take a journey through the stars for the whole month. In certain planetarium programs. Of course, they don't give you the astrology, they give you the astronomy.
Ooh.
But it's fascinating to see, you know, they create a dome on your HD screen and they walk you through. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. What a great idea for right now. Because one thing my mother always used to say is you need to lose yourself in order to find yourself.
That's true. The other part about it is that the comparison of opposites like this Mars-Venus clashing that's going on and you keep talking of balance, as much as we can find with technology, it's really important, even if you just have a place, even if you live in an apartment building, and you go down to a very big cosmopolitan city and it's just the sidewalk. There's always, you know, a block down, there might be a little park or whatever. It's really important to connect with Mother Nature right now and to ground through the planet into the heart of Gaia, because that's our healing and hers too.
Yeah, and I think that getting lost in something that you are, obviously you get lost in it because you're enjoying it and you're engrossed in it and it's taking you somewhere, that is part of the fourth dimension concept, the duration, right? How long is something? I mean, I still believe that our brains can't quite totally wrap around the whole concept of what does that mean, fourth dimension is duration, but I think we're poking holes in it here, you know, or putting in jigsaw pieces, I could say, of what does that mean. And that's a great example of duration. You know, time was this, you experienced it as this, and also time did not exist while you were doing that. I think that's the idea.
Oh, okay. Well, and also it's important right now, I think what we're waking up to is that there's that astral plane or that fourth dimension that is no time. And it's where our thoughts are patterned too. I think for the most part, a lot of our thinking goes on in that fourth dimensional level. In the fifth dimension, it's more of our mental body. But in the fourth dimension, it's more of our emotional body. And that's a playground. That is a real playground. We have a lot of fun. You know, our emotional body enables us to do so much playing. But it's also the place where we get scared shitless. You know, it's like that's the place where in the old, you know, Hellenistic mystery schools, they'd take you to scare the crap out of you for that little death moment that allows you to become more aware and to transcend the fear, you know?
Wow.
And then there's the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, the set, all the way to the 11th dimension. All of those different levels, we're being challenged to penetrate, you know, as many as we can right now. That's what those other lives are connected to.
Mm-hmm. And have you noticed this, Gwen? Lately, I've been having many memories, very vivid, like I am back in this moment in my childhood when I was 7 and I was there doing that.
Yeah. You know what? That's great that you mentioned that, because my sister and I were talking about that, how vivid memory has been, including, you know, what I've been getting a lot of is like taste and smell. That's been my connection, that my vividness has been, well, of course.
Yeah, that's your strongest.
That's my useful tool. I get it. And its vivid quality is in taste and smell. For you, it might be in vision or a more tactile feeling.
For me, it's also emotional. Like I can feel myself. I know what I was thinking and feeling in this moment. That's what brings me there. And then I fill in the blanks of what was going on. And then I look around kind of from my own point of view. That's how it comes to me.
What an incredible learning tool.
Yeah. And I notice that the ones that come up, it's like I feel them so much, and they could be the most mundane, you know, that Saturday when I was staring out the window in my room when I was 10, something like that, listening to that song and how I felt. And it always shows me something about what's going on now, like how I thought about it, either good or bad. Like, oh, I was so worried about X, Y, and Z when I was that little age, or look at the confidence that I had, and you know, I was only 10, like those kinds of things. I think that's us learning a lot about ourselves. I think they're like living dreams, like waking dreams, right?
Yes.
That already happened. That really happened.
Yes. I think that's a good way to describe them. Those are useful tools. Those are really useful tools. People that when I was growing up, I used to be accused all the time of daydreaming. And now I realize, well, of course, I was just sharpening my toolkit.
Yeah, you and Einstein both.
Cripe. I mean, I tell you, if I could tell you how many nuns slapped me for that one, you know. Not in the face. They just would slap your hand or the back of your head.
Yeah, conform, woman, conform.
Yeah. It's like, I've never done that, man.
Right. Can't even spell the word.
And some of us, you know, we were talking earlier about integrity. And that's the integrity that I basically have always walked with, whether it's been right or whether it's been wrong, is superfluous to the idea of, you know, walking with your own truth. It's a scary thing to do, and I didn't choose it because I'm brave. I chose it because I was obstinate and hurt. And there are a lot of emotions that went into it. And yet, as I got older, I realized that my instincts that were guiding my obstinacy most times were pretty right on. They were right. They were actually, I'm right. You know, geez, okay. And not always was I right, but in many things I was. So for me, it's been a lifelong walk, has been nonconformity.
Interesting. And that brings me to that knowing that you're right, the believing in yourself. I just wrote that in my journal yesterday. I thought this and I was right. This is what happened and this is why. I thought this and guess what? I was right. But at the time, I wasn't sure. So to see this list of three things that happened all in one day, and it turned out I was correct about every single one of them, and you did it when you were 4, you did it when you were 30, you did it all those times, I think that's tuning our gauge for what that is. Because how did we know that? Why did we stand up for ourselves in that moment, in that classroom, you know, second grade? Why? Why did it matter so much to you?
Also, it gives you a really good idea of, you know, why we come in the first place and the choices that we make before we get here. And it gives us confirmation in, you know, there's no accident that I'm here, that I have the people I have in my life, that I was born to this family. I mean, we make these choices coming on down the chute.
Yep.
You know, and before Gabe gets there and sticks his finger under our nose. And we have a lot to do. We have complete responsibility. We are God.
Yep.
It just goes back to when people can't understand what I mean when I say that, except for a fear of being, you know, non-Christian and something in the sky will knock them off their seat if they think such a thing.
Right.
You know, that just pissed me off from the very beginning.
Right, me too. Instinctually, I think that's really strong when, you know, you came here to do something. You have to wake up in a timely manner. So I think there are certain things that are just ingrained. It's like, okay, don't be obnoxious and think you know before you know. That was one of my things that I noticed, you know. And then also, you know, there is a oneness and there is a lovingness. And anyone that tells you otherwise is bullshit.
Well, and you know what my big thing was when I was in the fifth grade or fourth grade in a Friday class. On Fridays, the priest would come in with the CCD class or the religion class. And he began to explain to us, you know, that we were born with original sin. And from the moment I heard the words original sin, I said, that's a lie. You know how children will just say what's on their mind. You don't think that didn't give me a whack or two. And the first time it was the priest he just heard me say it. He said, Gwendolyn Berry, stand up. Go stand outside. And he said it with, you know, the authority in his voice that made me feel so small and so scared. You know, I can remember, just like you were saying, we get these triggers, we go back into memory. That was one of my fears. That was one of my first fears, was the sound of that priest voice, you know, using my name, saying it completely and pointing me out and all the eyes going on me and she must be evil, you know.
Yeah, rejection, complete, you know.
Complete rejection and then march outside and stand in South Florida in the hot sun.
And remove yourself. Be alone.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, no wonder. I mean, that's very scary stuff right there.
It happened a lot.
Wow.
It happened a lot. I mean, and so, you know, but this was my indoctrination. This was my initiation. This was me, you know, fighting to remember who I really was.
And
I still do it from time to time, and we all are being challenged to do it right now on a level of you don't have to hold on anymore.
Yeah, to anyone or anything, and to stand alone. That's something I've really been looking at. Stand alone and not have it have anything to do with lonely or being alone, because you're never alone.
Right.
That idea.
That's true. I posted something on my wall today. It's a sign that says, I think my guardian angel drinks. And a bear posted a comment saying, well, can you blame him? This is a blame I expected. That bar rail's full. Are you kidding me?
I know my God.
Jeez. You got to have a sense of humor. And that's something that I found works better, because I have this old saying, I don't know where I picked it up, but I will say like, oh, that dog is 3 days older than God. Well, when you're looking in the Appalachian Mountains and you say things like that, like God's teeth, you know, they get real weird. They look at you with them bad eyes. Like, you know.
Deliverance.
Wild tender.
Like, sharpening my knife.
Jeez.
Oh, it's hilarious. Those Appalachian eyes.
Jeez. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, since God was a puppy. No, you didn't say that. I said, oh, yeah, I did. Does that mean you're not going to pour me that drink? Well, we've gone off the reservation, but, you know.
Great.
Oh, it's our show. We'll do it.
Yeah, right. It's got to be fun. I mean, we did know. I find myself talking about the same thing of relax and enjoy yourself as much as possible. And I can hear the dissonance response, which is, well, yeah, we've heard that before and it sounds nice, but what am I really supposed to do with that? Well, why? Is because when you can laugh at yourself, you're putting yourself on a higher vibration. You're going, oh, well, you're letting go of all of the things that are holding your balloon down.
Or keep right? it out of your own vortex, okay?
Right.
It's, you know, we already, I love those choice words from Abraham, you know, where it's, you know, the minute you think of it, it's there, you've created it. Now allow the universe to bring it to you.
Yeah, that thing. Go ahead.
It is that simple. It's just that, you know, I feel like one of these folks from like AA or NA that says, you know, I want patience and I want it right now. You know?
As an Aries, I can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's a wonderful life.
Yeah. And it's hilarious to watch yourself, you know, all right, come on. Learn how to relax now. I've said that one to myself. That's pretty funny, isn't it?
but you now look on the instructive side here. You did learn how to relax, and you are one of those folks that you've gained a lot from listening to different teachers and trying different methods and things. But you have actually forged your own way down the road. You've plowed your own road. And you learn to go and use your bathtub as your chamber of healing and exploration, whether it's been self or it's been the cosmos, you know, and that's a big thing. And you have that to share with your clients. You also have that to share through the radio show, and you have it to share here. That's no small stuff. And one of the things you've been saying all through this show is how we are meant to inspire one another to do the same thing, to find our own place on the road and to stand up for ourselves and be self-empowered.
Wow, thanks, Gwen.
No, it's just the truth, though.
Yeah.
This is what's going on, and this is what this big portal is presenting us with. You know, there's a lot of illusions, and some of the illusions are purposely placed here by, you know, the transits in the sky right now. You know, you're going to fuck with me, Mars? Okay, I'll fuck back.
Right. Right. Yeah, seeing yourself for what you've truly been doing. I mean, that's definitely a thing, you know, that when you spend a couple years and a lot, I'd say 40% of that time is in the bathtub, you know, you can wonder, what are we doing here? And then you come out and what happens? There's a bedroom mat in that meditation because I would exhaust myself and then I would sleep. So, you know, it's a lot of sleeping and bathtub time.
Well, and there you go. And it's very smart, by the way. And it's a great thing to relate to others, because water is that quicksilver element into other worlds. And it's also very protective. It will protect you.
Yes.
There are things that go bump in the night.
Yes, you're right. That is a wonderful thing, because I haven't had the experience of going into my world and not being protected. So that's a great tag right there, is to really be able to find a place where you feel completely protected. And what I do, so simple, I go in the bath, I run the water, I choose one of your misters or oils that I want to meditate on, I light my candle, and then I spray myself in the bath, and then I white light myself, and I just swoosh around the water. And as I do that, I make that part of the white light, and I ask whatever's coming with me to come with me, and for this to be a safe place to work on, boom, this, whatever I chose. And that's it. And then you just go. And I've never, ever, ever felt unsafe there, ever.
That's the Celt in you.
Mm.
I'm just saying that.
Is it? Why do you say that?
Well, because I'm a Celt. No, but
that's how you do.
No, I found that information in more lore and books that are about Celtic ancestry and practice.
Oh.
We are at the top of the hour.
Cool, man. Such a fun ride. I hope other people are enjoying it as well. I realize that's what's most important. If you're enjoying what you're doing, other people will enjoy your enjoyment, and some people will never enjoy what you're doing. So it really doesn't matter.
There you go. Now, Jeff, you have an announcement about a show?
Yes. 7 p.m. on Monday night, I'm going to do a show about believing in you, believing in yourself, and basically dealing with the doubt. That was one thing that Kai Pacha brought up a couple reports ago, was about, this is the doubt time. Just don't let the doubt get into you. And so I'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, believing in things you've known how to do your whole life and for your whole soul lifetime, and using that as tools. That.
Wonderful. Okay, that's 7 p.m. Spirit Therapy with Tomasini.
And next week we're going to have on the Consciousness Shift on Saturday, we'll have Healer Esoteric, who is a physical trainer, and he does a lot of different healings and uses astrology charts to navigate, you know, what's happening with you. So he's going to come and talk with us next week.
Cool. That, I look forward. Oh, and he's in New York. He's based in the city, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Very good. Okay, and I want to remind folks that if you're politically slanted and you're looking for information about really what's going on out there, you can tune in tomorrow to the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Wynn Johnson. And myself. Boy, I'm going to get that broad.
People don't know. That's her giving us 90 seconds, 60 seconds.
But
she interrupts it. You know, why can't we talk at the same time? Go ahead.
Thank everybody for listening in today. This is Gwen Berry, and I've been with Nicole Tomasini. I'm in Florida. She's in New York. We have a great deal of fun with this. I hope you're enjoying it and you're learning something. And we really love if you email us questions or drop by and call in. We're good with that, too. So this is the Consciousness Shift, and that's the end of the show today. Thanks for listening.
Good night. Love and peace, people.
There you go.